The order today is a little bit different in some places, and in fact we're having our gospel reading very, very shortly. I just want to say a few words of introduction to that. So we'll talk about, I want to talk about the message this morning and how that will happen. It'll be a little bit different this morning. The gospel reading that we're about to hear is the account of Jesus on the cross and the thief on the cross next to him. And you'll recall over the last couple of weeks I've mentioned that over these couple of months, we're looking at people who encountered Jesus and how grace was awakened within them. This is the one that we're looking at this morning, of this very brief encounter between Jesus and one of the thieves that were on the cross next to him. And the message this morning will be a little bit different. It'll be a narrative, and it'll be a monologue that I will do. And it'll be spoken in the first person, a first-person account of the thief on the cross next to Jesus, who ultimately realizes who Jesus is and puts his trust in this king, in his king. And I've done that by adapting a song that was written by Don Francisco back in probably the 1980s, thereabouts. But he was a singer, a Christian singer-songwriter who often told narrative songs. And so I've adapted the lyrics from his song. And so I've needed to change the words and the phrases quite a bit so that it's not in a song format, but rather in a narrative telling format, speaking format. So that will be the reflection that I offered this morning. I hope that you're able to enter into the spirit of that at the time, and that it will be a helpful point of being able to pause and think about this passage and its connection with this theme of grace awakened. As we look at this passage, it's not, and what the thief on the cross does, it's not some kind of deathbed confession where it's, you know, I'll hedge my bets a bit just in case and I'll get in either way. It's not that kind of thing. This is the recognition by this thief of who Jesus is, that Jesus is innocent, and that in Jesus is salvation. That's what this is. It's a recognition of that, and that this thief puts his life, in his last moments of his life, into the hands and the hope of Jesus. It's never too late to do so. It's never too late to do so. So following the community time that we'll have, so announcements, community time, we will listen to Jesus, Remember Me, when you come into your kingdom. That'll just be played. We won't be singing that. Then there'll be the first part of the monologue, which is the longer part. It's not particularly long. And at the end of that first part, we will sing this great old hymn. Now, some of you will know this hymn. Some of you might not. It's O Soul, Are You Weary? If you don't know the hymn, I think you'll know the refrain. Okay, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. That's the refrain for this hymn. That will be sung. Then there's the second part of the monologue, which is quite short. And then we will stand and sing verses 2 and 3 with the refrain. It will follow. You don't need to recall all that, but it will follow along. So we hear the gospel reading for today.
The gospel reading comes from Luke chapter 23, verses 32 to 43. Two other men, both of them criminals, were led out to be put to death with Jesus. When they came to the place called the Skull, they were crucified, Jesus there and the two criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Forgive them, Father, they don't know what they are doing." They divided his clothes among themselves by throwing dice. The people stood there watching while the Jewish leaders made fun of him. He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Messiah whom God has chosen. The soldiers also made fun of him. They came up to him and offered him cheap wine and said, "Save yourself if you are the king of the Jews." Above him were written these words, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals hanging there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." The other one, however, rebuked him, saying, "Don't you fear God? You received the same sentence as he did. Ours, however, is only right, but we are getting what we deserve for what we did. But he has done no wrong." And he said to Jesus, "Remember me, Jesus, as king." Jesus said to him, "I promise you that today you will be with me in paradise." May God bless us, this passage in which we hear the word of God.
Thanks be to God. So, folks, all we'll do now is that we'll start to prepare ourselves for some reflection on the reading. Remember that reading that Andrew read from Luke's Gospel. Many of us would know this song, "Jesus, Remember Me," but as I mentioned, this will be just played, and that's the opportunity just for us to focus in and start to reflect on these verses. Sunrise, a new day, my final day. I woke to hear the jailer turn the key and push the door open. He yelled at me to get out here, but I didn't move. I couldn't. I stood on the floor. My mind was frozen in terror because I knew what they had planned and I couldn't face the pain of it. Then some soldiers came into the cell and they grabbed me and dragged me out. They threw me down near a cross. "Carry it." So I grabbed it and, struggling under the weight of it, I dragged it out into the street. It looked like there were thousands lining the street yelling and shouting, so full of hate. The scene was like a pack of wolves that was circling its prey, moving in closer and closer as they followed us up the hill. We had hardly reached the top when the soldiers grabbed me and tied my arms and legs to the cross and did what they needed to do to secure me there. Then raised the cross up and every nerve and bone was jolted as it dropped into place. And it was done. It was through a blur of pain that I looked at the cross there next to mine. There were so many people gathered around it. There was a sign above his head, as if to tell the world who he was, this pathetic, helpless figure was the King of the Jews. Some of those who stood close but just far enough away from his cross made jokes about this King of the Jews. They laughed and they shouted and they spat on the ground, and sometimes they spat on him. I had nothing to lose by now, so I thought I'd join in this little game and said, "Hey fella, if you're a king, won't you just get us down from these crosses?" But having said them, my words rang hollow and simply echoed around in my mind, because the way he looked at me with those eyes that reached deep into my heart and soul, they lit up all my lies and it tore my life apart. I realized by now that there was much, much more to him. There was something more behind the blood and the clay and the pain that I saw. And this realization was too much for me, and I had to turn away. Soon after, though, I took another chance and glanced at him again. He was looking down at the soldiers who had just crucified us as they sat there throwing lots for his clothes. And I could hardly hear what he said, but it was clear enough. I heard him say, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do." Well, whether it was the crowd responding to those words or what it was, I don't know. But they all began to roar at him again. The priests and the scribes were urging the crowd on more and more and more. The accusations came thick and fast, but now I realized it was as clear as day. The guilt was with those doing the accusing. There was no guilt in the one there next to me. Then the man on the other cross, he started shouting insults at this king, mocking him. And all the horror that had shaped his life and ruined him, he let fly, swore at him. But something stirred within me. I couldn't let this go by. For now I knew that this Jesus didn't belong here. Not like we did. It was now so obvious. There was no guilt here, but it was more than that. There was a goodness in him. There was a light shining in the darkness. I said, "Hey, what are you doing, man? We're about to die. Don't you fear God even now? We've spent our whole lives earning what we're getting now. We're getting what's due to us. But this one, this man, don't talk to him that way. He does not deserve it. He is innocent. He has done nothing wrong." I looked at this king, and mustering all the courage that I could find and in a voice that was not quite my own, I asked him, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." His eyes lifted for a moment, and even now his love and grace and mercy were undisguised. He said to me, "Before the sun has set today, you'll be with me in paradise." And not long after, he was gone. Well, for me, the hours continued on. And the shouts and the curses continued even when darkness approached. But somehow in the midst of it, my soul had been freed. And although the agony and pain continued, it was still too small a price to be allowed to hear those words and to die beside the Christ. Darkness dawning, and I heard the sound of voices. The air was warm around me. I stood before a stream, and Abraham was speaking to the multitudes before him of the unfolding of the answer to all our prayers, our hopes, and dreams. Then far across the chasm came a rumbling like the thunder, and the Prince of Peace came shining. From his mouth the power streamed, and the walls and the towers crumbled, and the gates of hell went under. And there he was, King indeed of all. Oh, I see it now. And the most beautiful thing is that we aren't strangers and outcasts anymore. We've been rescued. We've been saved. We've been welcomed into his kingdom. And there he is, Lord of all. Oh, joy, joy, joy. Stand for the last verse. His word.